You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Russ Caswell from Tewksbury, Massachusetts, who runs the Motel Caswell. Russ, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Russ, we've talked several times in the past about this matter that's been dragging on now for, I guess it's a couple of years now, right?
Well, about 3.5, actually. It started in September of 2009.
Long time. Over 3 years, and it involves something called civil forfeiture, right?
Right.
And what that simply means is that the U.S. government can, at their discretion, finger a business out that they consider to be high risk for, in this example, let's say, drugs. And then they can try to make the case that the business should be taken over by the federal government and the local police department, right?
This is more about, not so much about drugs as it is about money. We have no mortgage in the motel's worth maybe $1.5 million or so. And the way they pick out these cases is they have a DEA agent, which part of his job is to find places that have either low mortgages or no mortgages. And he says in his deposition that the DEA won't go after a place unless the owner has at least $50,000 worth of equity in it. So they're looking for money before they even go to look for any crime problems. Then they go to the local police and try to find out if there's any drug-related incidents or anything like that. And the local police, if they succeed in stealing my property, get 80% of it, and the federal government gets 20% of it.
So they're actually working backwards, it seems.
Exactly. And they say that you're guilty, and you have to prove yourself innocent, which is just backwards from anything in America that I ever heard of. Well, when I first got these notices 3.5 years ago, I never had any warning about anything. Absolutely zero. And I never had any suggestions about anything I should be doing any different than I was already doing. And the town issues us a license to operate every year. Never said anything about any kind of problems. We get inspected by the health department, the building department, the fire department several times a year. They don't have any problem with us at all. And then one day I go to get the mail, and there's two notices in there, one for myself and one for my wife. And it basically says, we're taking your property. And it lists these, at the time, I think it was like about 8 cases, most of which I never even knew existed. They come in and arrest people and generally don't even tell us that they do and take them to court, evidently. Now, they're going back now, I think, about 18 years with these cases. And like I say, I never even heard of most of them. And they're using them against me to take my property. One of the cases they're using against me was actually one of their own informants that they had put in here. My desk clerk had mentioned to one of the police, I'm a little suspicious of this guy. And so a while later, they ended up arresting him and convicting him for some drug thing. And that's actually one of the cases that they're using against me. So it's a case of you try to help them, and they turn it right around and blame you for it.
The DEA agent coming out and admitting that that's how they do it. This is something that I guess you found out recently then, because we didn't talk about that the last time.
I don't remember just when I found this out. I mean, this thing goes on and on with similar things like that. I mean, I could talk for 3 hours about it, with all the different things that have gone on with this. But these forfeiture laws, I know I had no idea what they were. I've heard of forfeiture, but I thought it was to do with, you know, if you had a car and were transporting drugs or something like that, or maybe using wherever to sell drugs out of, or, you know, being involved in it in some way, or maybe boats that are running it over here from wherever they bring it from. I think everybody's heard of those stories, but this is just right off the scale when they start stealing property from people who have done absolutely nothing except try to help them. It's just unbelievable that this can be happening in America. And when you tell people this story, they kind of give you a look like, what? I never heard of such a thing.
Right, like you had to do something wrong for this to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like I said before, not sure if it was in our last interview, but even when I talked to my lawyer originally about this and was explaining it to him, he's kind of looking at me like, it's something you're not telling me. There's got to be more to this. And he tells me now, you know, after we deposed a bunch of the police and everything, that he was doubtful because it sounded so far-fetched. But now, you know, we all understand that it's just about stealing people's property is all it is, and not even blaming you for anything or even accusing you of anything. It's like your property committed some sort of crime. And they don't help you or give you any suggestions about anything to do any different. And next thing you know, they're stealing your property.
Yeah, I guess the most amazing part of it, or the most unbelievable part of it, for me at least, is how the local police department, the Tewksbury Police Department, can actually hold their heads up when they know what they're trying to do here to a local resident. That's what I don't get. Have you thought about that? Yeah, have you thought about that, though, Russ?
I definitely haven't. I get along fine with most of the police that I know. I have no problem with them. I just don't understand why they do this stuff to people, other than it's about money is all it is.
The trial finally came and went. When did that start, Russ, and how long did it go for?
It was last week. It was from the 5th right through that Thursday. We haven't got a decision yet. It looks very promising for us, though they really came up with nothing like I thought they would. But some of the stuff, the judge made a few comments throughout the trial. One of the things she says is she's got some serious questions about the government's case. And then she says, you mean to me if somebody pulls into a Dunkin' Donuts and does some kind of drug deal in the parking lot of the Dunkin' Donuts or any other kind of business, and the employees happen to see it happen or whatever, that they can seize that Dunkin' Donuts? And the prosecutor says, yes, but now the people have the option of proving themselves innocent, which what they don't proceed to tell you is it costs you tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. And another thing the judge mentioned was, she said, if there was any magic way to stop drugs, we'd have done that a long time ago. And then two of these cases she mentioned that they were using against me, there were actually no drugs involved. They tested negative for whatever they were testing. And one, they didn't even arrest somebody. It was some kind of marijuana thing. And the judge, you know, kind of took notice of that. You know, why are you even using these cases? And their case, I guess, as best I can figure it out, is if I know about something after it happened, like say they were at the motel and arrested people for something, and I see the cruisers in the yard, or maybe read it in the newspaper the next day or whatever, I'm supposed to be able to come up with some sort of way, which they won't say what this is, they just say I don't do enough. I'm supposed to come up with some sort of way of preventing something from happening with some other person in some other room in the future. And because I'm not doing that, I'm doing something wrong. Now, here's a couple things that they asked me when I was on the stand. If you can believe this, this is a motel, and the prosecutor asked me, well, do you have no trespassing signs up? I says, it's a motel. Why would I put up a no trespassing sign? And then she says, do you take Social Security numbers? Which, as far as I know, you can't even legally do that. And then she asked me, well, do you take phone numbers? I don't know why I would take phone numbers from anybody when they're signing in. And then they talked a lot of minor things. They talked about, well, the place isn't lit up real good, which it is. I have these big floodlights up in the front and in the back building we have spotlights. And you know, it's good lighting, really, but they're trying to make a big thing out of that. They'd say that I should know what's going on. But when you press them for specifics about, well, do you have a case that Mr. Caswell should have known about? Or, you know, how should he have known about it? There's no specifics about anything. It's just all these vague insinuations that you use, like, well, he should have known or he could have known. And the fact that I live next door to the motel, they're using that. Well, he lives next door. He should know what happens at the motel. Well, I live next door, but that's all the more reason I don't want any criminals around. Because, you know, I live with my mother-in-law, my son and his daughter, and my granddaughter live with us in the house. And I have some shops out in the back. I rent to a body shop out there, which has a lot of high-end cars around and stuff. And I have a shop of my own. We have a lot of tools and stuff in there. And so obviously I don't want any criminals around. And after this happened, I talked with about four of my neighbors. I said, do you have any trouble with anybody at the motel? And every one of them says, no, I don't have any trouble with anybody there. That's kind of where we're at right now. One thing that happened at the trial, which I found almost comical, is when the police would get up or any of their witnesses or whatever they had, they'd ask them, do you have drug enforcement training? Do you have law enforcement training? And, you know, what schools did you go to? And how long have you worked on the police? And how much experience do you have? And all these kind of things with all their long pedigrees about all the courses they took for drug stuff and law enforcement. And they worked 20 years here and there and all that. And then I get up and my lawyer asked me, do you have any law enforcement training? No, I don't. And do you have any drug training? No, I don't. And what's your educational background? High school. And yet I'm supposed to do more than all these people can do with all the tools they have to work with. And when I don't do a better job than they do, they want to take my property for it.
The one thing I was a little nervous about was when I did read about how the judge asked that question about Dunkin' Donuts. My initial reaction was, oh, it sounds like the judge gets it. But from past experience, I've seen when judges have done something similar, you think that they're going to rule in your favor, or they're going to rule on the side of what's right, what's logical, and then they come out and they don't. Did you think about that at all, or were you clearly convinced that the judge was on your side in this case?
Well, I don't know if to say she's on my side, but she did seem to get it. I mean, I've heard that same story from a few people who told me the same thing, but I've really never had any experience with courts before to this extent as to just how that may or may not work out. So I really couldn't say for sure. A couple people have mentioned that. Don't get too confident until it's over, because you never know. And I understand that. You know, like they say, it's not over till it's over. But from my point of view, it's looking very good, because I just don't even see what the case is.
When did the trial begin?
Last Monday.
The government obviously presented their case first, and they called witnesses.
Right.
How many witnesses did they call, approximately?
Yeah, maybe 10, probably.
And how many of those witnesses were in law enforcement?
I'm not sure. I'd say maybe 7 or 8 of them.
Remember who the other non-law enforcement witnesses were?
They had one fellow there that made up a map they had. Well, it was an aerial shot of the motel with room numbers on it, just a kind of the layout of the place. He made that up. They had another one that inspected for drugs, tested drugs or whatever.
How long did the government take to present their case?
It was most of the trial. The only ones that were on for me was myself. Actually, most of the people they had were, I don't know, they might as well have been our witnesses, because they really didn't say anything against me. The police, you know, they say how we cooperate with them and do whatever they want and give them rooms for surveillance and always helpful. Most of them all said that. There was two of them that were kind of negative. Actually, one of them, maybe even both of them, as far as I'm concerned, lied. Because one of them said he knew me and talked to me a lot, and I didn't even know this guy. I may have seen him or something, but I don't remember him. And then the other one said that after they arrested somebody or whatever, they'd come in the office and tell the people at the desk what went on and all that. So I just to double check, I asked the people, I said, did they ever come in and tell anybody, any of you, anything? Said, no, they don't tell us nothing. They might come in and say, we're done with the room, this person won't be back or something general, but they don't get into any specifics about anything. And another thing I found kind of strange that I found out at trial, they did a video of a drug bust they had at the motel. This was about 18 years ago. And one of the police called this Channel 6 in Lowell, it used to be a TV station, I'm not sure they still are, and said that there was going to be something very interesting happening in the morning. And if they wanted to go film it, to come down the station, and they'd take them with them to film this thing. So they did, and they went off, came to the motel, and did some drug thing. And they videoed the whole thing, and they took the guy from the TV station down to the police station when they booked these people. He filmed the whole thing at the police station, and they put it on television. And yet if I see the police in the yard and go over and try to find out what's going on, even if I've called them for a problem, say a dispute, a family argument or something, I try to find out what's going on, they won't tell me anything. And yet they can film it and put it on television. I'll go down to the police station occasionally if I'm trying to find something out that went on at the motel, and they just won't tell me anything. I'm just a little puzzled by that, how they can put it on TV and yet the owner of the property can't get any information. Just, again, makes no sense to me. I would think it would help them if they would work with me and tell me what's going on and that sort of thing, because there's a couple of instances that I know of that they actually hurt themselves by not keeping us informed about things. One of them was they come in and arrested a fellow, I think, twice. And the second time he came back, we ended up putting him out. My nightman did. I had some kind of problem with him. So we put him out. And I think it was the next day or so, one of the police said, what happened? The fellow was in, I think it was room 235. And the night clerk says, well, we put him out. He was giving us some trouble or something. And the cop says, well, why'd you do that? We were watching him. They never told us they were watching him. So off the guy went. If they'd have said to us, we're watching this fellow, we'd have left him there if at all possible and let him watch him or whatever they wanted to do. And another thing, I had a girl working at the desk who was stealing from me. And I couldn't prove it, but I knew she was. So eventually I fired her. I told her, you know, I can't prove you're stealing from me, but I know you are. And she didn't deny it, so I fired her. And a while later, I heard, kind of through the grapevine thing, that the police were watching her, too. So again, if they'd have said to me, you know, we're suspicious of this girl, so why they were watching her, I don't know. But, you know, I could have caught her, and they could have caught her for whatever reason they were looking for her. But they won't communicate with us at all.
What's at stake here is that you could actually lose everything, right?
Exactly. I'd never even be accused of anything, never mind convicted or anything. I've never even been accused of anything. The other thing that's, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, is there's two or three other properties right near me here who have as much, if not more, drug crimes than we do. And they're big corporation-type places. And they're not going after them for obvious reasons. They don't want a bunch of big lawyers to fight.
What you have been doing over the past three and a half years is laying out money for legal fees, right?
Right.
And how much have you spent on that so far?
Well, I had to take a loan for most of it, but right around probably $100,000 or a little bit more. before the Institute for Justice came along. And that, I don't know if I said this before either, but that's how they do these things, is they know people can't afford to fight it. Going along in business, just barely getting by, trying to pay your everyday bills, and then all of a sudden you're clobbered with tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in lawyer's fees. So people just fold, not that they want or did anything wrong or anything, but it's a matter of you can't afford to fight it. So you kind of do whatever they want. That's probably what I would have had to do, because I can't afford this. Before the Institute came along, you know, it was just about breaking me. I've still got to pay off this loan, and I still owe my lawyers money. It's just terrible that they can pull this crap on people. I started with Schlossberg Associates in Braintree, Mass., which are very good. I have no complaints about them at all, but they could see that this was kind of a specialized thing, and that's what the Institute for Justice does, is government overreach and all of that kind of thing. So they called the Institute for Justice, and from what I understand, was just looking for information on how to go about dealing with this thing. Once the Institute for Justice heard about it, they said, well, that might be something we'd get involved in because of how ridiculous it was. Only they did, because I just couldn't afford to keep paying lawyer bills like that. Nobody can.
Yeah, and they're doing this completely for free.
Right.
How many witnesses did the Institute for Justice call up to the stand?
Actually, it was just me, I believe. They did call a town representative, which we've been trying to get somebody from the town, because this thing, at first, it's coming kind of like from nowhere. You know, nobody would own up to who was pushing this thing. And so eventually they got the town to put up a representative, which happened to be the chief of police. So we called him and then one other police officer, Tom Casey, as town representatives. So that's...
How did Casey do on the stand?
It's like he was for us, really. I mean, he's the one that signed the original complaint against us. He's been good through this whole thing. I mean, he said he comes to the motel, he feels comfortable going down there and talking with the people there and how everybody's cooperative with him, and kind of like he enjoys stopping in and saying hello sort of thing. Again, very puzzling, because he's the one that signed the original complaint against us, and I just don't know where that's all coming from.
Maybe he grew a conscience, who knows?
I'm almost thinking something along those lines happened. Once he got into this and saw probably himself how ridiculous it was. And another thing, I think that the whole other side has, once they were into this thing, probably figured out this is kind of silly, because it was not too long ago they had sent the DEA agent out here to go around to my neighbors and stuff to try to find if they could, I guess you'd call it, dig up any dirt on us. And he got nothing. They'd go into a place and say, you know, you got any trouble with the people at the motel, that sort of thing. And nobody did, because I get along fine with all my neighbors. But they try to spin it as we're just spewing out a bunch of criminals out of here. And it's just simply not the case. I'm not trying to say we don't get out here of bad people. We're right next to Lowell, which is a city that's got its share of drug problems. And Lawrence is just up the street, and you get the same thing there. So some of that does spill over. But we do our best to keep it out of here. And if you look at the amount of cases they have, I think they're using like 15 cases over the last, I think, 18 years. And we have somewhere in the area, we rent maybe 14,000 rooms per year. So when you break it down, they're talking about like one case per year. And to me, I don't know how me or anybody else can have any better record than that. I mean, as long as drugs are in our society, I don't see how me or any other business is supposed to keep them totally out. You're going to get some of that. You don't put up with it, you try to get rid of it, or do your best to keep it out. Another thing they did, which I thought really odd, you're not familiar with my house layout to the motel and all of that, but the way my house is situated, you can see almost none of the motel from my house. And they wanted to have the judge come out to the house to show how much I can see from the house, which is basically nothing. And so we agreed to it. I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. Let her come out here and, you know, I'll take her in the house and show around. So all the prosecutor's team and my lawyers and the judge. And we took her in the house and she looked around and you can't barely even see the motel at all from my house. And I thought, why would they want that? But that's what they wanted to do, and we just thought it was a good idea.
Very strange. Again, this probably bolstered your case.
It did, I think.
Not because of the view, but because she went into your house and she saw that it's a regular American house, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what they're trying to do. I know what they're trying to do, but I don't know how they're trying to do it. Seems to me they almost make a fool of themselves the more they do.
That's good, and hopefully one day you'll get to the bottom of it and find out exactly who it was that was pulling the strings and letting the case go forward against really all logic and all conscience. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. Keep waiting for something to come out so I could say, oh, I didn't know that, but there's nothing.
Did you watch the judge's expression throughout the trial?
Yeah, he, I think, did a couple of eye rolls for the other side, sort of, as discreet as the judge would be, I guess you'd say. But, you know, you could see in a couple of her facial expressions, like, you know, give me a break here, you know, what are you doing? I mean, that's what I got out of it.
Right. Did your whole family go down with you?
My daughter, we went down, actually stayed in a hotel down there, me and my daughter, who has just been fantastic through this whole thing with us. But my wife is, she's not up to going through the stress of court and all of that. After her illness, she's doing a whole lot better, but she's still very, very weak. Your mind isn't 100% there. Not that he's daffy or something, but her memory isn't there. She'll lose her train of thought when you're talking with her sometimes. She'll say, well, what was I saying? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of course, I call my wife a couple times a day. I call her at lunch break and then call her at night when I get back to the hotel. Just keep her updated on what was going on. It's been a nasty few years. It's baffling that the government can pull this crap on people.
It ended Thursday. You felt pretty good, right?
I did. I mean, it went, I thought, very well. Of course, I'm not really up on trials and all the ins and outs of it and all that, but being a layman's point of view, I guess you'd say, I thought it went very well.
And what about your attorneys?
The same thing. They think it went very well. Yeah, let me backtrack here a little bit. I keep asking my attorneys, what is their case? I can't imagine when we get to court, what are they going to say? And he says, as near as he can tell, they're just simply misinterpreting the law. They're saying if I find out about something afterwards that I've done something wrong, like I said before, I'm supposed to devise some sort of plan to keep a similar thing from happening in the future with some other guest. And how you do that, I have no idea. In fact, that came up, I forget who said it or whatever, to the other side. I don't have the story exactly straight, but I remember the other side saying, well, that's up to him to figure out. They won't make any suggestions about what to do because they don't know what you can do to stop everything in the future. And then they say, well, that's up to him to figure it.
How long does Judge Judy have to get an answer back?
My lawyer says it'll probably be into the 1st of January, somewhere in there.
The attorney for the government side, it was a female prosecutor?
Well, there's two females and a man.
So they had a whole team there?
Yeah.
Were they young?
Well, one of them was. One of the girls was young, but the others were, I don't know, probably mid-40s or 50 or something.
Did they seem competent, aggressive?
One of them, the woman, she seemed aggressive. Man, I almost think he's pushing as hard as he can, but I kind of get the feeling that he's kind of saying to himself, what am I doing here? But I could be wrong. But the other one, the female, she just keeps pushing, and she's the one that asked me about the no trespass signs, which who comes up with a question like that? At a place trying to get the public in to rent rooms, and you're going to put up a no trespassing sign. I just don't understand that.
They called you up to the stand then, the prosecution did.
Yeah.
How long were you up there for?
Not that long, really. I was surprised. I thought they'd grill me over and over and over about all the minutiae of things, but they didn't. I would guess I was only up there 45 minutes or something.
Strange. You would think that they would try to fluster you.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised that it wasn't longer than that. And I think my lawyers were, too, because I was prepared to be there all day. I figured they'd go over every little thing because of the way they were going over other stuff that really didn't amount to much of anything. Like I said, with the arrests and stuff, if I saw a cruiser in the yard, and then I'm supposed to take that as some sort of notification or something. I don't know. Kept going over other things, you know, over and over and over, and I thought, I'm going to be up here forever. But for some reason, it just didn't work out that way.
Apparently, they thought that your clear honesty would hurt their case.
That could be the whole thing, really. You know, it's easy to defend this for me because you just tell the truth. You know, I'm not trying to hide nothing. I guess if you get up there and you're trying to make up stories and all that, that's a whole other thing. But I just tell it like it is. Pretty easy.
You might have a nice Christmas present coming your way, Russ.
It would be nice. There hasn't been too many in the last few Christmases.
Based on the evidence here, it seems like you might be in good shape.
I think I am. But, you know, like you, it's always in the back of your mind that what could happen. But, you know, my lawyers are confident. Of course, they're the same way. They don't want to say for sure, but as much as lawyers can be, very confident that we're in great shape. They just don't seem to have a case. What I think they do is they're not used to people fighting back. And I think once people fight back, like we're doing, I really don't think they know what to do. You know, they're trying to make mountains out of molehills, stuff that really doesn't amount to anything, and they're trying to make big deals out of it. So I think they're just used to people folding up because they can't afford to fight it.
Yeah.
In this case, I think we just threw them a curve that they just didn't expect all this pushback.
Think about all the other innocent people that the United States government, its own citizens, they're going after and doing the same thing to.
It's sickening. It really is. I mean, it's physically sickening. Government does to people. It's just not in America anymore. I don't know where it changed or when it changed, but it's definitely changed. It's certainly not the America I used to know.
What about the legal fees that you've already forked out? Any chance of getting them back, Russ?
Well, from what the Institute for Justice says, I will get that back, yes. I guess it's automatic. If I win this thing, there's no having to argue about getting the fees back. If I win this, I guess they're ordered to give me the lawyer money back.
All the money you spent on this case from before Institute for Justice, you're going to get that back.
Right.
That's great, man.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic.
I wonder if they're going to try to tax it.
Who knows what they'll do. I think they got nothing better to do, so they're just maybe trying to make a job for themselves or something.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I know that all of the people who are concerned about your matter, and you've had people from across the country, and I imagine across the world, contact you through your Facebook page.
Right, I'm getting comments and support from everywhere, because people realize that once they can swallow what this thing even is, you know, it's like, this could be me.
Exactly.
You know, say you rent the property, say you own a, if you own anything, say a garage you rent to somebody, maybe apartment houses or anything, even a vacant lot. If somebody pulls in there and does some kind of drug deal, they can seize it. And then you have to go hire lawyers and all of that and prove your innocence. And it's just a ridiculous law. It just shouldn't even be on the books at all. You'd have to be convicted of something before they can take your property. They shouldn't just be able to come along and, at their own discretion, take your property. It's crazy.
Russ Caswell from Motel Caswell in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. I want to thank you so much for the time you took explaining all this to the listeners. And Russ, looking forward to talking to you soon and with the positive result in your case.
Thank you very much. We'll be in touch. As soon as I hear, I'll let you know. Thank you very much.